Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to be with everyone here today. And we pray that something we say or do will touch your heart and touch your life this morning. Amen. You know, don't forget, continue to pray, for pastors. You know, the devil out there is trying to destroy pastors. You hear of the fall of pastors. I can't say daily, but it's almost weekly. You hear of things that are going on. And you might say, well, is the fault of the pastors? Well, it's the fault of humanity. But I know, I understand it, yes, in a way. But you see that it says in the last days that the evil would rise up, and the devil will do anything he can to destroy families, to destroy churches, to destroy pastors and their families, and do whatever he tries to do. And we know, there's only protection in the cross of Calvary. That's it, people. Jesus has given us the protection of the blood of Jesus. And once we get out from that cover where we become prey to the enemy. And so, I ask you to pray for the church, as the body of Christ, but pastors, asking God to protect them, that whatever the darts or the arrows of the enemy that he'll try to throw at pastors, that it would be diverted, and God would save these pastors' lives. Because you see, the enemy will try to destroy pastors because he knows if he can do that, well, he'll have a lot of the people. And what happens is when a pastor falls, distrust comes into the people, and it discourages the people, and just all kind of havoc happens. So continue to pray and asking God to help in those areas, to help in those areas. You know, last week I shared on or preached on forgiveness. And how we need to forgive, and how that's a landmine that the enemy puts, and he wants us as Christians to step on unforgiveness and stay in that place of unforgiveness. And probably each and every one of you had a chance to forgive or not forgive last week. That's just how it is, there's no one that can go through life and not forgive. You know, there's no one that can go through life and not get hurt, by something that someone says or does. And we have to live in a state of forgiveness, because we know how it is to be forgiven by our Father, and the mercy and the grace that he's given unto us. Mercy. Today I'm going to talk about another landmine that the devil puts in front of Christians. And that landmine that he puts in front, and I'm going to just name it, is fear. 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 And I know I shared this last week, but I need to start with it again to give the crux of it, I guess. You know, when a force comes in, an army comes in to take over maybe another army, they're fighting against each other. And, in many documentaries that I have seen and read about and all this stuff, as things were happening, when an army force would come in, there were many landmines that the enemy would place. And these are little devices that is planted in the ground. And what it happens when somebody steps on it, the landmine, it blows up. And what happens was they dig a little hole, they put it in, and they cover it so that no one can see it with the natural eye. They try to make it like nothing has happened. And when an enemy soldier is coming in and walking through trying to get to the enemy to destroy them, because their country or their president or whoever's in charge of them has told them to do so because of whatever things that are happening, And when they step on these landmines that they don't know that are there, it triggers them and it blows up. And it could blow up. Some legs are missing, arms are missing. And it not only affects them, but it affects everyone else. And we know that when we don't forgive, it affects not just us, but it affects other people also. But we're going to talk about fear and what fear can do in a Christian's life. Now, there are normal types of fear. You know, we tell our children, especially our young children, not to put their hand on the stove, huh? Even if it's cool, because you never know. It could be hot. It could be, you know, you just cooked on it or whatever. And it would burn, what? Their hands. Okay? That's a fear that you want them to have. That's a good fear. Well, you also teach them not to run on the road either. Because especially where you live, it could be in town or even in the country, you know, you have these cars that are going very fast. And so you try to plant a good type of fear in their lives of not running on the road so that they're not hit. You know, those are good things. Those are good things that we try to place that good type of fear. Because the word does says fear the Lord. But you see, as Christians, we shouldn't have a fear that debilitates us, that stops us from doing God's will. You know, every Sunday or whenever I get in front of people, there is a little bit of fear in my here because you never know what's going to happen. You might say, well, Pastor, you've been doing it for so long. I know that. But there's still a little bit of fear because you are facing people. And you are saying, Lord, I want to share with them the true gospel of you to the people. And I don't want to lead them in any wrong direction at all. So you see, and so you're kind of fearful of the things you might say or do. So you're saying, Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Help me. But there is a little bit of fear there because you want to say and do and lead the people in the right direction. Now, I want you to turn, if you would. I want you to turn to Isaiah 41, starting with verse 8. Isaiah 41, starting with verse 8 all the way to 14. Look at starting with verse 8. Isaiah 41, verse 8. It says this, but you, Israel, are my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Now you have to remember, God chose Jacob. He changed his name from Jacob, deceiver, to Israel, which means Israel means prince with God. God changed his name. Verse 9, for whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called you from the chief men thereof and said unto you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you away. Verse 10, see, God was raising him up to be the leader. He says this, verse 10, it says to Jacob, fear you not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, and I will help you, yea. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 11, behold, all they who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing, and they who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and shall not find them, even them who contended with you. They who war against you shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying unto you, Fear not, I will help you. Verse 14, fear not, you worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Here we see God trying to comfort and help his leader that he has chosen to be the deliverer for Israel, to help bring God's people out, to be their leader. And he has to tell them at least three times in this particular verses of scriptures, fear not, fear not. Then he says, I will comfort you, I will be with you, I will help you. Even though God had called him to be the leader. See, God knows what's in you. We often think, well, Lord, you know, God will speak things to us and tell us things and want us to do things. And then we remind God of who we are. Lord, do you know you're asking me to do something that's out of my comfort zone? You're asking me to do something that I don't think that I'm qualified to do. You're asking me to do something that I know I cannot do. You're asking me to do something that, you know, I know somebody else that could do a better job than me. And all those things are correct. And God, the Holy Spirit, says, yes, but I've chosen you. And God doesn't make mistakes. What God has called you to do, do it. Do it. Let God be God in your heart and life. And remember, when God calls, he equips. When God calls someone, he gives them the ability and the power and the strength to do it. Either they have it in them when he calls them, or he puts it in them as they need it. You might say, well, was Jacob scared? Yes, he was. God wouldn't address something if he wasn't a certain way. Jacob was scared. Jacob didn't want to do it. Jacob thought he would fail. And God had to comfort his soul in telling him, fear not. People, God has spoken things to your heart and minds, to the spirit man on the inside. Let him use you. Let him do the things that he wants to do. Look, like I shared with you earlier, every time I get up here, there's a certain little... You can ask anybody that speaks publicly in front of people. But God, the Holy Spirit, as you do it and you do it, the Holy Spirit, you see him move in your heart and life, and you start to trust him more than ever before. Than ever before. Don't fear what man could do to you. Fear what God could do. We've been called by grace. We've been saved by grace. We live by grace. Thank God and mercy. Thank God for the mercy and grace of God. Don't fear man or what they could do, but fear what God could do. You know, I often think of, we know the famous story of Goliath and David. I mean, that is an awesome story. You think of this young boy, I mean young boy, teenage boy. Not very big at all. The armor that these other men had wouldn't even fit on him. He was small in stature. That God would choose that boy to bring liberty and freedom to Israel. as Goliath would come out daily. Daily. And there was a gulf in between. That means one was on a mountain cliff side, and the other ones were, and there was a cliff in between. And so that Goliath would come out daily and cuss the name of God, declare that he was God, that their God was God. And he would tear down the God of Israel daily, daily. And these guys on this end that were supposed to be the best of the best just took it like it was nothing. And what happened was fear came into every heart, even the king. They feared Goliath. They feared what he could do. And Goliath was a huge guy. They considered him one of the giants. He was a giant. Big, tall, 10 feet, 11 feet tall. Huge. And every time he came out, he stood and he cursed the God of Israel. And they would just stand there or sit, however they wanted to do it, and listen. And the more they listened, the more fear came into their hearts. And they were saying, we can't conquer him. We're defeated. That's why we got to be careful of the things we listen to. We got to be careful of the things that we see. I mean, some things we can't, you know, you're just walking down the road and my God, you see all kinds of stuff. But I mean, we got to be careful of the things that we see that we can turn away from and say, no, Lord, I don't want to see that. Or I don't want to hear that. Sometimes I hear the worst music ever known to man. I'm serious. From the pit of hell. I mean, it's bad. That's blaring from vehicles, my God, and you're going, Lord, look, and you can feel it. It's like, ooh. I mean, it's bad. All over the place. All over. But it took this little guy to come out as his father, and you see, his father sent him to check on his sons. But you see, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to the Father, send forth your son to check on your sons. That's the Holy Spirit. And as he's there, he hadn't been listening to that thing for days and days and days of this thing coming out and saying evil against the God of Israel. He didn't know that. He didn't hear it. He came in on the other side with fresh ears, knowing what the God of Israel could do. How when a bear came in and attacked a sheep, he killed it. A lion came in and attacked a sheep, he killed it. Under the inspiration, the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of God upon David. The power of God upon David. It says in Scripture that he had a heart after God. A heart after God. That doesn't mean he didn't sin, and we know it, huh? He made some bad mistakes. He murdered a guy, had a guy murdered, committed sin, all kinds of stuff. But he had a heart after God. And God forgave him, and the mercy of God came upon him. But David came in and said, who is this guy that he would curse the God of Israel? Man, he was like, oh my God. And can you imagine? These other guys turned to him and said, oh my God. That's why when you're at your work and you're doing whatever and somebody starts to say things and you know it's not truth and you stand up for righteousness and you stand up for what's right, they turn because they haven't heard what's been right. The other day, I don't know if I shared this or not. Out on our break, and somebody was talking about church. Well, let's talk about church, people. Okay? And they would say, oh, you know, it was right after Easter. And somebody said, well, man, who went to church? And so one or two said, oh, I went to church. I said, I went to church. And then like three or four or five of them said, oh, I didn't go. I slept. Blah, 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 blah. And that one guy said, y'all should have went to church. It's Easter Sunday. And one of the guys said, well, You know, where in the Old Testament was churches? You know, they didn't have churches back then, and churches, that's all man-made, and da-da-da-da. And the guy looked at me and said, Joe, where are churches? There was no churches in the Old Testament. I said, oh, yes, there was. Oh, yes, there was. I said, God built the temple. They had this temple where the people had to come and worship God and make sacrifices. I said, this temple that was organized by God the Father had to be moved in different places as the children of Israel moved. Then a permanent places were set up. And in the New Testament, God started to move, and now there's churches everywhere. And look, he sat there and he said, oh, that was it. So you see, you have to, you know, you don't have to be ugly about it, but you stand up for what righteousness is. You stand up for what's right. And so here, David walks in and he hears this and he says, oh my God. And honestly, y'all, I wasn't going to talk about this at all, but that's okay. God knows. And he says, I will not let the children of Israel, my God, be cursed like that. Because they were looking for somebody to go and confront him, Goliath. They would send one, and the children of Israel would send one. But they didn't realize the children of Israel, God the Father had already chosen one, and David wasn't going on his own will. He was going because he was sent by the Father, so the Father would be there to help him and to take care of the situation. That's the key, people. Letting the Father take care of the situation that is happening. We don't have to fear things. We don't have to be anxious about things. And you might say, well, Pastor, we do get anxious. I know it. I know that. Myself included. Sometimes you have to go to the Father and say, Father, help me. I put my faith and trust in you. Because the scripture says, fear not. Fear not the things of the world. Fear not the devil's economy. Because we don't live by that. We live by God's economy, people. God's economy prospers every day. God's economy makes things happen. My God. God can bring people to buy stuff that you never thought was possible. And you're saying, where are these people coming from? God's making them come. Because we don't live by the economy of the world. We live by the economy of God. They're saying our economy is collapsing. It probably is. But God's economy isn't. So we live by him. How many churches have pastors I've talked to where their churches, people are out of work, out of work, out of work? What I try to share with them is how they need to tithe, but sometimes it doesn't go over too well. That's pastors, people. It's okay. God has blessed his church tremendously, Lord, y'all. Not because of us, maybe, but because of him. In obedience to the Father and what he can do. But I tell you, David said, I'll go. And people, he's looking to you as David's. Rename your name, David, spiritually. David. I'm a David. Father, I'll stand up against the powers of darkness. Against the powers of darkness that are holding people back from serving him. Against the powers of darkness that are stopping people from coming into the knowledge of Christ. Coming against the powers of darkness that has tried to bring depression and destroying the people of God. And it says they tried to put the armor upon him and it was just too big. He said, I can't wear this thing. He would have tried to run, he would have fell over. Rolled. He said, I have my slingshot. Bent down. Picked up 5 rocks, said, these are good. Put them in his pouch. Took one, put it in, and the guy came out. And they let David go. And David said, I'll go. See, when the power and the presence of God, that's the Holy Spirit, comes upon a people, fear leaves. It leaves. Leaves. When the power and the presence of God comes upon a people, that spirit of fear, unnatural fear, leaves. And a boldness comes upon the people. That's why after the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the power of God came upon the church, it says that they were bold to go out and preach the gospel with boldness and power. You want to know why God told them to go into that upper room for those days and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit? Because he knew if they didn't have the Holy Spirit, they would die spiritually. They would be scared. They would be afraid. They would die and they would not do what God wanted them to do, because fear would come upon them and the enemy would overtake them. So God said, go to that upper room and wait for me. And as they waited, the power of God came in. 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 And God wants the power of his Holy Spirit to be upon your heart and upon your life, so you can boldly proclaim the power and the presence of God, declaring that Jesus is the way and the only way. Fear will debilitate a person and destroy them from accomplishing what God wants them to do. But when the power and the presence of God comes upon a person, they can do all things through Christ, which strengthens them. All things. All things. All things. And it says David started to run against the enemy. And he had that one rock in that sling. And he let it go. And that rock flew. As that rock started to flow, I imagine the Holy Spirit, the angels of God, came and directed it where it needed to go. Y'all, that's what God does with our prayers. As we pray and seek God, and the devil says your prayers are not working, he knows it is. The devil's saying your prayers aren't working, it's not changing anything. But you see, we can't see if the veil of the physical is not taken off. We can't see in the spirit realm. We might be able to feel some things, but we can't see it. And the devil wants us to stop praying, stop believing, stop seeking God. And God's saying, keep on seeking me, keep on honoring me, keep on loving me. And I tell you, that rock flew and hit him in the forehead, right in the middle. I don't even know if he saw it. It hit him so hard that he fell. Boom! David ran up to him, took the sword of Goliath out of that sheath. It was so heavy, and he could hardly pick it up. But that's okay. That's okay. He picked it up with his hands, trying to lift it up. Put it over the neck of Goliath and just let it fall. The enemy will fall under the power and the presence of God. The enemy will fall under the power and the presence of God. The enemy will fall under the power and the presence of God. The enemy will fall under the power and the presence of God. The enemy will fall under the power and the presence of God. The enemy has to fall under the power and the presence of God. We just got have to get under the shower of the presence of the Holy Ghost and let the power of God move upon our lives so we can take down the enemy, because we have a lot of people that we're praying for, a lot of people we're seeking God for that need a Savior, that need to turn to God. We have many problems of our own that we need God to move in, and God can move it. God can change it. God can solve it. It says that scripture that I quoted earlier, call upon me and I will answer you and show you what? Great and mighty things. That's the power of God that wants us to call upon him. Call upon him. Call upon him daily, in the morning, at noontime, in the evening, at night. Look, not last night, the night before. 3 o'clock in the morning, I turned over. My eyes open. When I go to bed, I sleep. I mean, you know, when you walk so much, you sleep. Just open at 3 o'clock in the morning. And a guy came to my mind, and I started praying for him. And I said, Lord, do a mighty work. Lord, take him out of that church. I know what's going on. I said, Lord, get him out. Father, get him out. Father, and just praying there, just saying, Lord, move upon him. Change his life. Get him out of that church that is deceiving him. Get him out of that unbelief, Lord God. Get him out of that stuff that is destroying his spirit, man. And he's saved. Get him out, Lord. 15 or so minutes later, that was it. Fell back asleep. Said, okay, Lord, thank you. See, and I know you too. God is moving people. I know it. Look, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, don't be crazy. You know, God's not crazy. Far from it. Good. But I tell you, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And when fear comes and says that it won't happen, reject that fear. Say, no, 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 no. My faith and trust is in Jesus Christ and what he's done at Calvary's cross. That's who I trust in. And let me tell you, the boldness of God, the presence of God. Reject fear of any kind. Reject fear of any kind. When God calls you to do something, to lead a group, to do something, do it. Don't reject him. Don't put it away. Don't put it on the back burner hoping that God will forget. Because he won't. It's going to come around. Remember this. Anything that God tells you to do is for your benefit. It may not seem like it. You may not think so. Because at the time, it really doesn't look like it. And we are selfish people. So we like to do everything that benefits us. But God's saying we need to put self aside and benefit the church and other people. And you do what God says to do, and don't worry about the fear. Say, Father, I put my trust in you. Because you see, fear starts here. Fear starts at what you can see. You know, that's like, you know, when a storm comes over, you know, and you start to hear all kinds of stuff. Ooh, and your mind starts to play on you. There's a tree that's rubbing against your window, and you think, oh, Lord, somebody's starting to break in. You think that you hear creaks under the house, and you go, oh, my God, what's underneath there? Somebody's underneath there. I mean, you know, your mind starts to go. And so you have to rein it in. You rein it in. And you say, Father, I trust you. And Lord God, I know everything's okay because you are my God, my Lord, my Savior. You're in control of it all, Lord. And David got there, took that sword, cut off his neck, and took his head and lifted it up for Israel to see. Then they went ballistic. Praise and worship. And they ran in there and destroyed the enemy. One person's victory that God calls brings about hundreds, thousands of victories for everybody else. When I have victory, other people have victory. When you have victory, other people have victory. Praise God. We ride on that coattail of things. That's the Spirit of the living God, people. And let me tell you, there's nothing too hard that God can't do. There's nothing too hard that God can't solve. There's nothing too hard that is so painful on the inside that God can't take care of. God can do it. Just as he took care of Goliath. Those Goliaths that had tried to rise up in your heart and life, he says he can take care of it. Fear not, for I am with thee. As he told Jacob, fear not. The old deceiver, now the Prince of God, Prince. Changed his name spiritually and physically. The power and the presence of Almighty God. Let God be God. Don't walk in fear. Walk in faith. You might say, well, Pastor, it's hard. I know it sometimes. But God says he's in Scripture, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given you, put your name, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You're not going crazy. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Makes me want to run almost. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may stand, please. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, we give you praise and honor and thanks, Lord God Almighty. Father, we thank you for your love and your presence, Lord God. As every head is bowed, every eye closed for just a minute, people. As we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, have them ready. I want to ask you an important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you given your heart to him this day? Have you given your heart to him this day? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? If you don't know him, I want to give you a chance to receive him as your Lord and your Savior this morning. If you don't know him, would you please raise your hand or indicate to me so I will know without a shadow of a doubt. I see your hand back there. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see your hand back there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together. We have two people that raised their hand, and so we want to pray together, okay? Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I receive you into my heart and into my life, that you will lead me, guide me, and be with me. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Look, guys, I appreciate every one of you, Jelaine and I. We thank God for you, and we love you. And, you know, I just pray you have a great week.